Imagine wiring your entire life savings to buy a house and then having to wait 3 agonizing days for a random email just to confirm the money didn't go to some hacker.
Right, which is just a terrifying feeling.
It sounds completely absurd, but that is exactly how traditional real estate transactions work today. You send the wire, you bite your nails, and you just wait. We are essentially running this high-stakes relay race, totally blindfolded.
Yeah, and it's a problem almost everyone listening to this deep dive has faced or, will face eventually.
Exactly. So today, our mission is to completely cut through the tech bro jargon and look at how a highly misunderstood technology, which is blockchain, is actually being used right now to solve this massive, age-old, incredibly frustrating problem. We're looking at the architecture of trust.
Because the real estate market suffers from this fundamental trust problem. I mean, buying a property shouldn't feel like a gamble at a casino.
No, it really shouldn't.
But the inefficiencies in the current system are just staggering. You've got delays, unclear ownership histories, missing documents, and even outright fraud is a rampant issue.
Which is wild when we're talking about the biggest purchase of someone's life.
Exactly. This isn't just theoretical friction, it's a present danger in property markets globally. And specifically, we see this highlighted in parts of the MENA region, the Middle East and North Africa, where this rapid growth is just colliding head-on with legacy administrative systems.
Right.
Investors are pouring capital into these spaces, and they are rightfully demanding clarity.
So the way I've been visualizing this traditional setup is like that relay race I mentioned. But instead of sleek baton, you are passing a giant, precarious stack of loose paper. And again, you're blindfolded.
That is a highly accurate, if slightly terrifying, analogy.
You're blindly handing the stack off to a broker who hands it to a lawyer who hands it to a bank, who hands it to a city registry. And at every single handoff, you're just hoping nobody drops a page, or worse, intentionally swaps a page out while you can't see.
Right. And that perfectly sets the baseline for what we're actually discussing today. Because when we talk about bringing transparency to property transactions via blockchain, we have to strip away the noise.
The hype, bingo.
Exactly, the hype. The real value here isn't about selling a new cryptocurrency. It has absolutely nothing to do with digital coins or, speculative trading. It is entirely about creating a shared tamper-resistant record of ownership.
Right, because if the traditional system is a blindfolded relay race with a stack of loose paper, the obvious question is how this digital layer actually removes the blindfolds. Let's look at the mechanics, because we need to explain how this works, not just what it is.
Sure.
Because in the traditional paper-heavy world, every single intermediary have their own private database. The bank has its system, the title company has totally different software, and the city registry might still literally be using metal filing cabinets.
Yeah, the traditional system is built entirely on isolation because these databases don't actually talk to each other. Updating a record requires manual submissions.
Like someone typing it out?
Someone has to physically type data from a PDF into their terminal or literally mail a stamped document across town.
Wow.
And then, because humans make errors, you need third-party checks, which means more humans to verify that manual entry. And because everyone is staring at their own isolated screen, there is almost zero visibility into the changes happening elsewhere in the chain.
So it's just a black box for everyone else.
Exactly. That isolation is the breeding ground for tampering and lost information.
Which brings us to the blockchain alternative.
Yeah.
Instead of 50 different isolated databases, you have a shared ledger. But how does that actually prevent the tampering?
Well, because instead of relying on a single bank clerk to update a solitary database, a blockchain relies on network validation.
Okay, what does it look like?
When an update is proposed, say transferring the deed from the seller to you, it isn't just one computer that says okay. Thousands of computers in the network run a complex mathematical check on that entry simultaneously.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they verify the digital signatures and the history of the asset. And only if the majority of the network agrees that the math perfectly checks out, does that transaction get permanently locked into the ledger.
So you replace the exhausted clerk with decentralized consensus.
Precisely. The result is a full, visible history of the property that is mathematically incredibly difficult, if not practically impossible, to secretly alter.
Okay, let's unpack this.
Phew.
Because the moment you say shared ledger and full visible history, my immediate thought goes straight to privacy.
Naturally.
If I am buying a house, does a shared ledger mean my nosy neighbor, or the whole world for that matter,
mm-hmm.
can just log on and see exactly who I am, what property I own, and the exact dollar amount I paid for it. Because I don't think anyone wants their personal financial lives broadcast on a public message board.
No, of course not. And that is the most common and frankly most valid initial reaction people have when they hear the word blockchain. But there is a very clear distinction to make here between a public blockchain like Bitcoin and what the real estate industry is actually building. These property networks utilize permission-based access.
Meaning there's a bouncer at the door.
Exactly. Sensitive information is heavily encrypted and only visible to relevant permitted parties. The buyer, the seller, the legal representatives, and the specific financial institutions involved hold the digital keys to decrypt and view those specific transaction details.
So my neighbor can't just snoop.
Right. The general public cannot just peek into the ledger. It is a shared reality, but only for the people who actually have a legal or financial reason to share that reality.
That makes a lot more sense. It's an exclusive room, but everyone in the room is finally looking at the exact same whiteboard, rather than their own separate sticky notes.
That's a great way to put it.
But does this whiteboard replace the government? Like, does the blockchain now suddenly become the supreme ruler of real estate?
No. And what's fascinating here is how carefully the technology has to thread the needle with existing laws. Blockchain does not decide who owns a property.
Right.
And it absolutely does not bypass local property laws or land registries.
Hmm.
Legal ownership still entirely depends on recognized government authorities.
So it's not some shadow government. It just adds a digital layer on top of the existing legal framework.
Exactly. It utilizes time-stamped entries to create a clear, undeniable audit trail. Every update is mathematically locked in with a date and a time.
Yeah.
It records and displays information clearly, drastically reducing the uncertainty and those endless legal disputes over whose physical piece of paper is the, you know, true record.
Okay, so the ledger provides this ultimate, unchangeable, time-stamped whiteboard.
Mm-hmm.
But recording things is just half the battle. How do the actual actions happen?
Right.
Moving the money, releasing the escrow, transferring the deed. If we don't have the exhausted bank clerk doing it, how does the system execute the trade? This is where we get into smart contracts.
Yes. The smart contract is the absolute engine room of this entire operation.
The best way I can visualize a smart contract is to think of a heavily guarded, incredibly strict digital vending machine.
Okay, like that.
Think about walking up to a regular vending machine in an airport. You don't have to negotiate with it. You don't need a cashier to facilitate the transaction. You input the agreed-upon criteria, inserting a dollar, and pressing button A4.
Right.
The machine mechanically verifies that criteria, and the asset drops automatically. There is no human negotiation at the exact moment of exchange.
That's a brilliant way to conceptualize it because it perfectly isolates what is being removed here, which is human delay at the execution phase.
Yeah.
In real estate, smart contracts are simply lines of code that execute predefined actions the exact millisecond certain conditions are met. They confirm the conditions, trigger the payments, and record the milestones without anyone needing to manually push a button.
Let's move away from abstract code and put this into a real-world scenario.
Sure.
Imagine you're a buyer sitting in London and you are purchasing a luxury flat in Dubai. How does the digital vending machine actually handle that transaction?
Well, in a traditional setup, you'd wire the money to an escrow agent, wait for international clearing, wait for the seller to physically sign and mail the deed to the registry, and hope the agent releases the funds correctly.
Which takes weeks sometimes.
Exactly. But with a smart contract, the workflow transforms entirely. First, you and the seller sign a digital agreement, which activates the smart contract. It's now sitting there on the blockchain, holding your funds in cryptographic escrow, just waiting.
The dollar is in the machine and it's waiting for button A4.
Exactly. The predefined condition is the verified digitized ownership documentation from the Dubai Land Registry.
Okay.
The moment that specific digital deed is finalized and uploaded into the system, the smart contract recognizes it. It cryptographically verifies that the document is authentic.
Wow.
Because the condition is met, the code acts instantly. It legally transfers the deed to your name and simultaneously releases the funds to the seller's account.
So no waiting around.
No waiting for a bank manager to come back from a long weekend to approve a wire transfer. The completed transaction is then stored immutably on the shared ledger.
So what does this all mean? To me, looking at that London to Dubai scenario, it means we are fundamentally shifting the focal point of trust.
How so?
We're ensuring that the steps happen by initial agreement rather than relying on human discretion later on. You agree on the rules with your lawyers up front, and then the code just ruthlessly, mechanically enforces them.
It creates absolute consistency. However, we have to be incredibly clear on what smart contracts do not do, because the hype often outpaces the reality here.
Fair enough.
Smart contracts are not intelligent in the human sense. They cannot interpret ambiguous or unclear legal language. If there is a highly nuanced subjective dispute about a property line or, you know, a structural defect discovered at the last minute,
the machine doesn't care.
Exactly. A smart contract cannot act as a judge or a mediator.
Right. The vending machine doesn't care if you actually wanted a candy bar, but accidentally pressed the button for chips. It just mechanically executes what it was programmed to execute.
Which means the initial setup of these digital contracts requires immense legal precision. They support trust by ensuring steps happen as agreed, but the agreement itself still absolutely requires human intelligence, legal advice, and professional oversight.
So the lawyers aren't out of a job just yet?
Definitely not. They do not override local regulations. They merely execute within them.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because this all sounds incredibly streamlined. But technology has to eventually bump up against the messy, unpredictable real world. Let's challenge this idea of a tamper-resistant blockchain.
Okay, let's do it.
It's immutable, meaning it can't be changed once a block is written. But what happens if someone simply types in the wrong address? Think about how easy it is to mistype your own zip code or misspell a legal name on a form. If the blockchain is unchangeable, aren't we just permanently locking in a typo?
This raises an important question, and it highlights what analysts call human input risk. It is the Achilles heel of any beta system, and blockchain is no exception.
Right.
Incorrect data entered onto the blockchain remains incorrect, even if it is mathematically immutable. A flawless, permanent, cryptographically secured record of a mistake is still, at the end of the day, a mistake.
Garbage in, forever garbage out. And now it takes an act of legal gymnastics to fix it, because you can't just use whiteout.
Exactly. The blockchain secures the data perfectly, but it does not verify the initial truthfulness or accuracy of the human typing it in the first place.
That makes sense.
And that friction between perfect code and imperfect reality leads directly into several other major limitations we have to map out. This isn't a magic wand that instantly fixes real estate. For starters, you have regulatory alignment.
Meaning the laws have to catch up.
Right. Not all jurisdictions legally recognize blockchain records. It is a massive patchwork of different laws globally.
Which means in some local counties, a judge is going to look at your cryptographic hash and say, I don't care. Show me the piece of paper with the wedding signature.
Precisely. If the local law requires physical paper, the blockchain is legally irrelevant there. Then you have system integration. Even if you build a state-of-the-art blockchain platform, it still has to physically and digitally connect with existing land registries.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you might have a 21st century smart contract trying to interface with a municipal database running on software from 1998, or literally trying to pull data from a physical file cabinet in a basement.
Right, so the technology is only as fast as the slowest analog link in the chain.
And finally, there are adoption gaps. This entire concept of a shared ledger only works if people actually share it.
You need a network.
Widespread use requires a critical mass. It depends on banks, lawyers, registries, buyers, and sellers all agreeing to adopt the same technological infrastructure. If your bank uses the blockchain but the seller's bank refuses, the streamlined process just breaks down.
Okay, let's do a quick myth-busting session here, because there are a lot of wild assumptions out there about what this tech promises. We already established it doesn't bypass the local law. But does putting a property on the blockchain make the transaction instant?
No. The execution of the smart contract itself might be instantaneous once conditions are met. But gathering the documents, conducting the physical property inspections, completing the legal reviews, those real-world tasks still take exactly as much time as they always did.
Does it guarantee that the transaction will actually be a financial success?
It absolutely does not. It records the transaction transparently, but it does not remove market risks or the risk of making a bad investment. You could still wildly overpay for a property. You will just have a very mathematically clear, undeniable record of having made a terrible financial decision.
And crucially, does this eliminate the need for intermediaries? Because the big tech bro promise is always about cutting out the middleman. Do we get to fire all the lawyers, brokers, and escrow agents?
Absolutely not. Legal advisors, physical registries, and compliance checks are still very much required. The technology reduces the administrative friction between these parties, but it does not remove the need for their professional oversight.
Right.
In fact, Over-reliance on smart contracts without proper legal review is considered a major operational risk. You still need the lawyer to make sure the code represents the law.
Okay, so if it's not magic, if it doesn't eliminate the lawyers, and it isn't completely instant, who is actually benefiting from this right now? Why are we even talking about this? Why should you, listening to this, care about where this infrastructure is heading?
What?
Who are the actual users demanding this technology today?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is a very specific subset of the market driving adoption right now. The first group is cross-border investors.
Mm.
Going back to our London to Dubai example, if you are investing across borders, distance amplifies the trust problem. You can't just drive over to the local land registry to verify a deed. A shared, verifiable digital ledger is absolutely crucial for establishing trust across thousands of miles.
That makes total sense.
Who else? The most fascinating use case right now is fractional and digital asset investors. Think about trying to buy a fractional share of a high-rise commercial building. You take a single massive asset and slice it into micro-ownership shares, maybe allowing retail investors to buy in for just $500.
Wow, okay. But if you tried to do that with traditional paper systems, the administrative cost of the lawyers and the paperwork to track 1,000 people who each own a tiny fraction of a percent would completely collapse the system. The legal fees would be more than the value of the fraction itself.
That is exactly the friction point. And this isn't just a theoretical problem. Look at platforms like Osol Gamma. They aren't trying to sell you a new speculative cryptocurrency. They're using this exact blockchain plumbing to chop up real estate into digital fractions.
Interesting.
Because the blockchain tracks those microtransactions automatically with smart contracts, the administrative nightmare just vanishes.
Huh.
The technology makes the math financially viable for the first time. They use this infrastructure to provide complete record visibility and investor confidence in a model that simply couldn't exist on paper.
That's a huge aha moment.
Yeah.
The blockchain isn't necessarily changing how we buy standard single-family homes just yet, but it's unlocking entirely new ways to structure ownership that were previously impossible due to paperwork costs.
Exactly.
Are large institutions looking at this too?
They are. Massive institutions and trading platforms are adopting this because standardized, immutable processes drastically improve their reporting and compliance capabilities. Auditing a blockchain is infinitely faster than auditing a warehouse full of paper files.
Oh, sure.
And finally, you just have generally risk-aware buyers. Anyone who operates in a volatile market and prioritizes having an undeniable audit trail is pushing for this transition.
So really, if we boil it all down, the true benefit of transparent property transactions via blockchain lies in clarity, not necessarily speed. It's about reducing our reliance on those informal confirmations, like the stressful, trust me, the wire cleared emails, and allowing buyers to actually spot issues earlier in the process because everyone is looking at the same whiteboard.
That is the core takeaway. Transparency supports better, safer decisions. It doesn't guarantee outcomes, but it allows you to see the playing field with absolute clarity.
Which brings us to the wrap-up of today's deep dive. If we look back at the mission we started with, cutting through the hype and the jargon, what we found is that transparent property transactions via blockchain do not replace the law, and they certainly do not eliminate market risk. But they act as a deeply powerful tool for trust.
Yes, they do.
They're slowly replacing those fragmented, paper-heavy, highly siloed databases with a single, shared, time-stamped reality.
And my final insight on this, pulling from everything we've synthesized today, is that this knowledge is only valuable when applied with highly realistic expectations. This technology is brilliant at what it does, securing data and automating agreed-upon rules, but it is ultimately only as good as the regulatory alignment and the flawed human processes backing it up. We have to respect the real-world limitations just as much as we admire the digital innovation.
It's all about finally removing the blindfolds from that relay race. And it leaves me with this final lingering thought for you to ponder. If blockchain's greatest superpower in real estate is simply forcing everyone to agree on a single shared reality of who owns what, could this technology eventually force that same undeniable transparency onto other aspects of our lives that currently rely on blind trust? Think about it. If we can now mathematically prove exactly who owns a $500 fraction of an office building halfway across the world, what happens when we start demanding that same immutable, tamper-resistant proof for exactly where our tax dollars go? Or a shared ledger showing exactly how our personal data is being sold and to whom? The architecture of trust doesn't have to stop at real estate. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive, and as always, keep questioning the information around you.